to Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
Welcome to another edition of Keldabe Talk Radio. This week I'm your host, Crow, and with me this time is Thaxos.
Hey.
I got Pinocchio.
How you doing?
And we also have Frost.
Hey guys, how you doing?
And from down in Australia's Sandhawk Clan, I have Point of Origin.
G'day!
Alright, so we have a bit of stuff to talk about. I think we might as well start off with the one that we talked about the most before recording, and that's the recent shuttering of LucasArts as a division of Lucasfilm Disney.
Yeah.
And I don't miss it. I miss it for nostalgia's sake, because, I mean, stuff like X-Wing and the Jedi Knight series and all of the good Star Wars games I'm gonna miss.
I mean, definitely the older video games, the X-Wing series and Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2 were awesome, and then you have Battlefront and Republic Commandos. But, I mean, definitely getting to the newer, more recent stuff, it just became... I don't know, it didn't seem to do quite as well with the fans, and if people take a good hard look at the company as a business model, it was hemorrhaging money, quite frankly. So I'm not, it comes as a bit of a shock that they would do that, but at the same time, it was that, or I guess strip out everything underneath it, keep the name and keep, and just shove new, like completely restructure it, but keep the name there. It's not like they're not going to make more Star Wars games. They obviously will.
Yeah. But you also got to remember, like, every single bad Star Wars game, like all of the movie tie-in games, those are all LucasArts too.
Yeah,
like all of the Clone Wars based games, those are all bad. Those are all those, you know. So,
yeah,
I think what a lot of people who are casual fans do is go, "Oh, this is part of the thing that I love. I'm not going to look at the reasons behind it. I'm just going to be outraged at the fact that it's gone."
Yeah,
yeah, that's often a reaction, which I find is kind of silly, but.
And you also got to remember, like, half the games that they released in the past 10, 15 years, they were all under the LucasArts banner, but, you know, stuff like Knights of the Old Republic, that's all BioWare.
Yeah.
BioWare did everything.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And BioWare's still around. Nothing saying they can't get another license for another Star Wars game.
Oh yeah,
Tor. If everyone forgets Tor, then they'll get another license for a Star Wars game.
Yes.
There's gonna have to be some apologizing first.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I played through it and it was all right, but I don't want to make this a Tor episode because we've had enough of those.
Yeah,
we've bashed it enough.
But I don't know. It's interesting what Michael brought up regarding the the fans that just focus on the negative, and the same vein, or I guess on the flip side, you can also consider a lot of the fans that go, well, it's Star Wars, so I'm going to enjoy it for what it is. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I think that's mostly where the outcry of, hey, wait, don't get rid of LucasArts is. I think it's more so people being concerned that, wait, what will happen to the Star Wars games, and where are they heading, what direction? Not so much the fact that you're getting rid of LucasArts, the name.
Yeah.
And I mean, for all I know, they could still brand it with the name LucasArts. They just wouldn't have the company itself.
Yeah.
They could employ the same people and under a new division.
Yeah.
And it would be the same stuff being made, just under a different name.
Yeah. Which would probably be... I don't know about the business model aspects, but I'm sure there's some benefits to that and advantages.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's a known brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, over the past few years, you know, it's associated with Star Wars, but just because it's a new LucasArts game doesn't mean everybody's going to go flock out to buy it. It just doesn't hold a lot of weight anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except when you shut it down, and then you've got, you know, loads of impotent nerd rage on Facebook. That's about it.
Facebook is filled with that regardless.
So. Yeah, there's always going to be that.
But look at
that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
Look at Monkey Island. Like, everybody who played the original Monkey Island game loved that that was coming out, but no one else bought it.
Yeah, just the hardcore fans.
Yeah, like...
See, I remember playing Monkey Island from freaking 5 1/4-inch floppy.
Oh, yeah.
On old, old computers.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been a LucasArts fan from a long time ago. But, yeah, you see what they were doing with it. Like, the new one was... It was just catering to Monkey Island fans, and it didn't even do a good job of that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, the reality of it was that the business model was failing, and it really did need the kick.
If they were still making cool games like, you know, the original X-Wing and TIE Fighter...
I really want
Full
those.
Throttle or...
And the best games in the world, the Jedi Knight games. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the Jedi Knight. I mean, most of their great stuff was in the 90s.
Yeah, bring me another Republic Commandos.
Yeah, another Republic Commando.
Did they even develop that?
No, yeah, there's just the one, right?
Yeah.
And like an iPhone game.
That doesn't count.
Republic Commando, was that an in-house game, or was it developed outside?
You got me there.
That's what Google's for.
I don't know why I don't remember this. I should totally know this.
Developed and published by LucasArts. Yeah, so that was probably that was 2005. So that was probably one of their last in-house only ones.
Yeah, and in video game terms, that was a lifetime ago.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, I didn't even really like Public Commando that much.
It was all right. It was pretty solid.
That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy.
People are all like, oh, "I want a Shing to wear to Verda now," and I'm like, "You're a frigging nubscape. Make some armor."
Can I do the Werda Verda in Republic Commando armor?
I'll kill you.
You already did some of
that. I already did it in Mando armor. Yeah, you did.
So by the way, we haven't even mentioned Mando armor. We haven't talked about any costuming, anything.
We're supposed to do that?
Maybe we'll... I don't know. Maybe we'll just skip that.
Yeah.
I
mean,
it's not like we're part of a costuming club or anything, you know?
Well, no, if you haven't figured it out by now...
There's a forum for that.
Yeah. With pictures. Yeah. Pictures and
words. And text.
That's true. There are pictures and text and things.
And sometimes video.
Well, that's one of my favorite parts. It's like, well, how do you form metal armor? It's like, well, first you put it on the table, and then you just kind of, you know, you hit it until it's in the shape you want. I mean, that's what the podcast would be if we actually did that.
Well, I remember one time we had Tom in here, and he was trying to answer that, and he was actually in... his shop doing it real time.
Oh.
And that was something that we decided. That was on the live show back in
good old live show.
And
it's a bad idea.
Yeah, it was a terrible idea because bing, 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 except 10 times louder than that obnoxiousness.
Yeah. All right.
The whole model of games is changing. You've got pay per month subscriptions now going to free to play with microtransactions. You've got a lot of the, you know, the single purchase video games now have DLC upon DLC. So you buy a $60 game, but then there's another $30 of DLC later on.
Yeah, and it takes what, 20 million or so to develop a game now. So
yeah. You know, and there's a lot shifting too, where it's people want to play little, you know, apps on their phones, apps on their music devices, tablets.
Yeah, that's a big industry now, because people don't want to actually sit down in front of a computer and, you know, get a full immersive experience. They want to do little tiny gaming sessions in between whatever else that they're doing during the day.
Well, and definitely,
that's why Blizzard is one of the few big computer gaming companies left.
Yeah,
and that's if we're honest, most
because I've already got the fan base.
Oh yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Although StarCraft is a pretty huge chunk of that too.
Oh god,
yeah.
That's got a fan following like no other.
Oh yeah, I bought the crap out of those.
We'll see more Star Wars games. That's
Well, at the very least, at the very absolute least, we'll see tie-in games again for all of the movies that are coming out, and those will all suck, but we'll play them anyway.
Yep.
This is true.
It can't be any worse than the Pod Racer games.
I like the original Pod Racer game.
Bombad Racing.
Not the Super Bombad Racing. But the original ones.
The actual Pod Racer.
It wasn't too bad.
Yeah. The graphics were kind of really
impressed with the fact that they actually got the speeds of the pods vaguely right. You know, they're talking about going, you know, 900 k's an hour, and they've modeled that into the games, and they had to make the tracks bigger than what they were so that they could actually make you go that fast.
Yeah.
And did you ever get to play the arcade cabinet version of that?
No.
It was modeled off of the cockpit of Anakin's pod, and you steered and did everything with the two handles, and that's awesome.
Oh, that's like, right. I do remember that.
Like,
yeah,
that was really super gimmicky, and you only ever saw it in arcades, which are their own dying business. But it felt cool.
you can't deny that as a kid or even an adult, hopping into a pod racer and getting the full experience.
Oh yeah,
just once would be pretty fun.
Oh yeah.
Actually, I may have lied. I think I may have experienced that. I may have raced Aeson in Sebulba's pod.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, my concern is just where they're going with 1313 and the other games that they've said they are shelving.
Yeah.
Or may or may not be doing anything with, because the rumors of coming up with Battlefront 3, the first assault, which was the, I guess, the testing version. What was it supposed to be for Xbox Live Arcade to base kind of figure out how much demand there was for another Battlefront style game? I mean, Battlefront 1 and 2 for me, and Republic Commandos as well, but Battlefront 1 and 2 were just awesome games.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Battlefront 2 took a lot of hours away from my life.
I definitely have to say it was far better than the Call of Duty games that were the alternatives. I much preferred playing Battlefront.
Yeah, and I'll miss the good games. Just they haven't made a good one in quite some time.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I definitely thought that 1313 had some pretty good promise, but then again, I mean, you look at it.
We also haven't heard a lot out of them, even like before the Disney merger and everything. There was a lot of silence coming out of that.
There was the brief moment of full in time rendering and the fancy extra stuff that they were going to incorporate into it, and it was definitely going to be a PC only game. And then they may have just realized that consoles tend to dominate a large portion of the market.
Yeah.
This day and age, and a nice solid PC game built for PC and not just ported over from a console version is far and few between.
It's just shrinking every year. Everybody's got iPads and tablets.
I wouldn't say it's so much shrinking. I mean, there's definitely
it's expanding in every direction.
Well, no. PC sales numbers are dropping every year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, in terms of the number of PC gamers, there's definitely still a huge market for it. The problem is that all the game companies know that there's just as many people that'll buy it on different consoles, so they make a version for every single console, and they hit a far larger market. And a lot of the games are then being held back by the fact that they have to be for these current generation consoles, which I'm interested to see how the new games coming out will step up the game with the new consoles.
Well, the new with every generation of consoles, you get a huge increase in power. Like until I built my newest rig, like my Xbox had better graphics processing than my computer did.
Yeah, I mean computers are kind of leap.
Yeah, they're
bounds and leaps ahead.
Yeah,
but The games themselves are typically tailored more towards the consoles, so it's nice to see that with these new consoles coming out. I was really hoping to see, you know, 1313 in nice high, you know, real high quality graphics, something real immersive. But I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
Hope for the best. Hope it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
If it comes out, I might even buy an Xbox.
Oh no, I definitely play it on PC.
Oh, yeah, all the way.
All right,
speculation of the future. We'll see what happens.
Disney's also sort of announced another tentative new timeline for the films. They're planning on, pretty much they said what they did before. It'll be a trilogy that'll hopefully The first one will be out in 2015. They're still sticking with that gun, though I don't think that's going to happen. And then
it seldom does.
I don't know. I mean, they got a lot of resources.
Oh, they do. I mean, it's got all of Disney behind it now.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll wait and see if it gets pushed back. Because, I mean, at this point, it's probably going to be holiday season 2015, which is already almost 2014.
Yeah, typically, though, Star Wars is always released, what, May?
Typically, yeah.
Yeah. But I would hope that they aim for the same area. Although, to be fair, all the Marvel movies are also hitting in May. So, they may stagger it and put, Star Wars maybe in holidays.
Yeah.
As long as it's not a Star Wars holiday special.
Well, yes.
Oh, sure.
No, we need to bring that back.
Hey,
bring
Disney, back. Disney's got the rights to that now, too.
Yeah, we need an update.
Star Wars Holiday reboot. 2.
Yeah, Star Wars Holiday reboot.
It's totally wizard.
Yeah, they say they're going to release them 2 years after the first one in intervals, so 15, 17, 19.
Yeah.
But they've also come out and said that they'll be releasing spin-offs between each of the movies. So we're looking at probably at least two more on top of the trilogy.
Standalone character-focused movies, then.
Yeah, which to me says Boba Fett.
I certainly hope
so. It better be.
And I mean, you know what? Before we jump into speculation, all I have to say is, even if it's just something as simple as a Expendables-style or Die Hard-style Boba Fett movie, that'll be enough.
Yeah, look at half of Bruce Willis or Schwarzenegger's movies and all of Stallone's movies. They say like six lines the whole time.
Yep.
You don't watch them for the storyline or anything like that. You watch them for the explosions and the punching of faces.
I want to see Boba Fett flying on a jetpack, blowing crap up for an hour and a half. Because I don't care about character development. He's Boba Fett.
Definitely.
Just blow stuff up.
Yeah.
What I am...
Salsa.
What I noticed and I found kind of intriguing... I don't know if you guys have probably seen the G.I. Joe 2 movie.
I've seen previews. I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Well, the Rock, Dwayne Johnson, is in that. And, of course, he's all stoked to be,
Roadblock.
Involved in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And on his Facebook page, he was... I'm trying to find the exact quote here, but... here it is. Yeah, he said as a kid he pretended to be Snake Eyes and Boba Fett, and then he and he's got a photo of him along with Snake Eyes. Says, "Imagine how I felt in this scene, total geek moment." And I'm just thinking, he does a lot of movies, he does a lot of action movies. How awesome would it be if he was Boba Fett?
He's too big.
He's too big.
I could definitely see him as a Mandalorian. I can definitely see him as some big ass. Yeah.
He could pull off
Mandalorian.
Montross, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. I would love to see him in a Star Wars movie. Because he's actually a legitimately good actor on top of being a piece of meat.
Exactly. I mean, G.I. Joe, he's not Snake Eyes, even though as a kid, he pretended to be. Oh. But, I mean, I could definitely see him getting on board with the Boba Fett movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He would jump at that.
Even if he had to kill Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Controversy!
Jason Momoa as Dengar.
He's big enough. Yeah, he could be Dengar. I wouldn't want him to be Dengar. I'd want him to be someone much, much cooler, but he could be.
But yeah, I'm pretty optimistic towards what the films will bring. I mean, end of the day... Nothing people speculate or complain about or like to predict will affect anything that the movie makers are going to do.
Oh no!
Unless you have a job that is in that field in which you are
and even then,
involved with cinema, and even then the chance that you're on that project
is casted.
Yeah, unless you're J.J. Abrams' best bud, his main bro, it ain't happening.
So
hope
for the best.
Bros? He's kind of a geek. I don't know if he would have bros.
I don't know. For me, it's a hope for the best. Enjoy it for what it's worth when it does come out. And, Star Wars will be Star Wars.
Yep.
As long as they don't go the way of multiple timelines like Star Trek, then I'm happy.
It's okay. That's okay for Star Trek, because they've been doing that since the 60s.
You know what I'm most excited about with this, though? Mm. Is the potential for a lot of the fan communities who already make a lot of Star Wars stuff to get involved with the prop making for these movies.
Certainly hope it does lead to that.
Oh yeah, do an open call for extras, and my god, the people who will show up and the awesome stuff that they've built.
It'll be on the same level as Lord of the Rings casting calls.
Yeah,
absolute insanity.
We need some orcs, and bam, suddenly you have 3,000 people in immaculate orc makeup and costume.
Exactly.
What they need more stormtroopers? Call the 501st. Yeah. What they need Mandalorians? Call the Mercs.
They're gonna do that anyways.
Well, it only makes sense for them to do that. I mean, realistically, if you're making a movie and you need 3,000 stormtroopers,
don't they
do it for free as well? I don't know about you guys, but I would.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I would jump at the chance.
See, that's a big savings for Disney. Then you don't need to invest in that much PVC. Don't need to invest in armors and vac form tables and extras and. Hell, don't even worry about insurance. We won't care. Light rig drops on one of us, we won't care.
I got crushed to death on the Star Wars set.
Then you got a story to go along with it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Even better.
Yeah, see that singed part? Yeah.
You know where I got the scar?
Mustafar.
Fell into the lava. Wrench on me. Was awesome.
I don't know. I mean, for all the naysaying, I don't think they're gonna mess it up.
No.
If you look at the Marvel movies, I mean, they acquired Marvel. They've acquired a lot of companies, and they don't typically go in and completely flip the table on it and completely start from the ground up and reimagine it, restart it.
Yeah.
You know, Marvel's integrating. Marvel's hitting a movie a year, every year. So I don't even see. Why Star Wars can't do that as well. They've got enough resources, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, once they hit the first one, once they get that one released and in theaters, then it's just gonna be like clockwork after that.
Definitely. I am kind of curious to know what's going to happen with the 3D releases. I was really looking forward to seeing the movies in theaters again, 3D or not.
I could sort of take that.
Yeah, 3D doesn't do it for me, but seeing it on the big screen again, definitely.
Yeah. Well, did you go and see the episode 1 in 3D?
I've unfortunately missed it myself.
Oh, okay. See, it was.
I don't know if that got released up here, but I'm in Maine. I'm in the middle of freaking nowhere.
Well, we got it in Canada.
Hey, I'm in the freaking nowhere.
Well, there's one possibility that.
Dank be gone. Apply directly to the dank. Dank be gone. Apply directly to the dank. Dank be gone. Apply directly to the dank.
3D, it's like, oh, wait. Now there's actually a chance to get a Blu-ray edition that has the original non-CGI movies.
And the original sound effects.
Yes, the original sound effects without the added crap.
No more Obi-Wan stepping on Lego.
Yeah. I mean, there's actually a chance that someone at Disney's going to go, hey, we could make some money off this.
Oh, God, someone else might go.
We could. They just sell it as the extra special edition where it doesn't have special edition.
Yeah, so, you know, they're talking about, the new 4K TVs and whatnot. We've already got the Blu-rays. Next generation that comes out, hey, here you go!
Does your species suffer from irregularities, obstructions, cramping? Try Bactalax today. Side effects may include headaches, irritation, hemorrhoids, rachel plague, rhodian dank, gray rot, carillion, tamminin fever, heart combustion, bleeding, constipation irregularities, death, obstructions, mild delusion, cramping, dagobion, swamp quoth, mon calamari, nerve shock, nerve pox, and rhodian dank. And segue. And the May 4th Awards. The main reason why we have point up here. The May 4th Awards are coming up. Just what are the categories and all that sort of stuff? For this year, yeah.
Well, let's take a look at the background behind it first.
Yes.
So, when I came on board as Clan Administration Officer, there was a lot of work to be done with organizing how we record events and why we record events and all of that kind of thing. And while it's true to say that, you know, we're a fan club and it should just be all about fun. The fact that we're now a legal entity kind of forces us to do things that are not so fun. So record events and keep track of who's done what and how we're growing as a club and all of that kind of thing. And so when I came into the role, I went, okay, so how do we do this? You can't just, you know, tell Ailerads to report and then not have anything to go, oh, right, well, good job. So I went, let's institute awards. Let's track all the events and go, you've done well, have an award. So the initial brainstorming happened, and I decided that because May the 4th is such a significant day for Star Wars fandom, we also would... well, yeah. We would institute it on that day because no other costuming group does that. We have to be special, of course.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Special
and so I looked at what categories we could actually record the data for so that we can get statistic-based awards, and then went, but this isn't enough. We need to get some member involvement and all of that kind of thing. So last year we had some voted-in awards, which were most scarred and terrifying. So I got people to submit pictures of themselves in kit, and everyone voted on them, and people got the awards. And this year it's expanded to be quite a few more categories than just those two. And at time of recording, the voting is up in the Kaldabe Lounge. So we've got Like a Boss, which is for the most epic pose in kit. Team Players, for the two Mandos who best match in whatever way. Sistine Chest Plate, which is for the most intricate paint job. Best Blast of Verpine, which goes along the idea that you can't just have an award for Best Blaster.
Yeah.
So you break it down into categories. So likely next year there'll be Best Blaster BFG, for example. And then Best Newbie, for the best looking kit that has been approved within the last 12 months.
I think that's really good. I also don't qualify, so I'm sad I can't win it.
It's the only one you can't win.
Damn!
But I think that having that member voted part of it is quite good because that involves that interaction with the member base, and not just the official members, but everyone else who wants to be part of the forum and can come in and participate in that. And yeah, it's good. And this has gone further than just going, oh yeah, have a little forum award or whatever. It's gone to the point of, right, we've actually got a mod for the forum that has been coded in especially so that we can have awards in the forum, and that's going live these May the 4th. So that's good. The statistics-based awards are things like who has trooped the most in the last year, and they're individual-based and clan-based as well. So you've got your the clan who's done the most and the individual who's done the most, and they might not be part of that same clan. And what else is there? The most recruits for a clan. So within the last 12 months, which clan has got the most new official members. I've got to remember all my own awards now.
That you do.
Oh, as you do. Just giving them all to yourself.
Have I given myself any awards? I don't think I have.
I think you should. I think you should give yourself at least two. Just make up two categories and give them to yourself.
Probably Smellius.
So are you taking donations for like the prizes and whatnot to actually give them something that's like, hey, you want a helmet or something like that, or
Not at this stage, but that point was raised, and I think it's a good point to look at for the future, because for example, the recent Facebook contest that went on with the photo submissions and that kind of thing, with winning the exclusive patches from C6 that were left over. That had a good response, and I think that I'd like to extend that to not just having, you know, the glory of having an award, but have something kind of physical to be able to go, yeah, I won this.
Oh yeah, that was quite the heated competition too. That generated a lot of interest, and I'm pretty sure the likes for the fan page too, the overall social media presence jumped up as well. So it was great promotional.
Exactly, and that's good PR for the club. But it's also good fun and involvement just overall.
Oh, definitely.
So another couple of the awards, I've got the Poster Boy Award, which is for the individual who appears in the most Invasion pictures. We've got Milestone Awards, so that is for the total number of Invasions over someone's career. There's a few people who are getting right up there. I'm seeing 64 for one person.
Wow.
I can't even keep up with that.
It's quite intense.
Leaving me in the dust.
Did you say 64 for one person?
Yes.
In posters? Oh, I think I know who it is.
Invasions.
Total Invasions.
Oh, Total Invasions. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, and that's also
no idea who that is.
Chasing after them, but I can't keep up. Winter was absolutely dead for events, so there's my excuse.
You've always got an excuse, don't you?
I gotta have some reason why I'm disappointing the fans. all three of them.
Yeah,
you're way ahead of that individual in the Poster Boy Awards. So there you go. So all of that is going good, and then Roki, who is now our brigadier, has instituted the idea that we'll have brigade awards as well. So the same basic awards based on which brigade troops the most and that kind of thing. So I'm not sure if that's going to be off the ground this May the 4th, but we're aiming for it. So we'll see how that goes as well.
No pressure, Roki, but you got to have it done by May 4th.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh, yeah, by the way, get that done by May 4th.
Yep.
Hurry up.
When this releases, you have 3 days.
Yep.
No, the May 4th award sounds like a pretty exciting time. I'm looking forward to see who takes home what in terms of the voted competitions and or contests, competitions,
thanks,
whatever you want to call it.
it's going to be a lot of work to get all the statistics done because I've got 140 odd new members since last year.
You are just piling on the work for yourself there.
Yeah, I've got a couple of assistants now, so that's all right.
Yeah,
but it's still a lot of data entry and then analysis and deciding at which point to cut off the award for which one and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A lot of hard work, but it definitely looks like it's paying off.
I think so. I'm quite proud of the of what happens with it. Like the response to it seems quite good.
Oh yeah, everything I'm hearing, people love it. So. Mm. Great idea.
Everybody awesome loves to win awards, and I mean, especially an award that you win pretty much just by being in the Mercs.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. It's a privilege of membership.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, being in, just participating. That's how you win the awards around here. Go figure.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to put a caveat on that because I'm not telepathic. I can only record the events that I'm told that have happened.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty good with knowing who's where and what and all of that kind of thing, but I need to be officially told. Yeah. So, yeah, and I've had a few people go, oh, well, why was I retired? I've done all these events. And I've gone, well, no one's told me.
Yeah.
So,
so yeah, get those invasion reports in. Make sure your name's on them.
That's definitely a better way of going about it, though, than you having to chase down everybody to try and get reports in.
Yeah.
Exactly, which I've done in the past, and that's not fun.
Yeah.
So if you individually have done events, you need to tell your ALARAD or other officer to get them reported. And if you're not part of a clan and you've done events, you need to tell your regional commander. Through the freelancers, or alternatively, you can PM me directly. It's not really hard to get events recorded, but it is an important part of both tracking our growth as an organization and having a bit of fun involved in that.
Definitely.
Very good, sir. New personnel officer.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's a good point.
Yes. Yes. Who is the new personnel officer and why?
Zugte.
Zugte has taken over.
Oh, she got it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Sweet.
Yes, she did.
So, is she still
congratulations.
Well deserved.
Yeah. Yeah, she does a lot of work. And
it is definitely well deserved.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very happy to see her in the position. I was sad to see Remo go.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I mean, he left for the right reasons, and he's still a very valued member of the community. And
And I can say, having done the job for 3 weeks, it's work.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It is actual, real work. I mean, so it takes a lot to step into that role.
Mm.
Yep.
And she stepped in and went, wow, there's things that I really need to change in this, and got straight onto it and changed them and got them all organized within a week.
Mm. Yeah,
she's done very well with that.
Oh, yeah. I remember the brief time that I had in the Ruzalore trainings, just observing her comments and that sort of stuff, and she was usually the one to Photoshop people's application pictures if they needed work. You know, just saying, if you do this... You know, if you make this look like this, then you will get in. Like, that's that sort of stuff that she just did, just because. Incredibly awesome, incredibly helpful. Yeah.
Above and beyond, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The constant positive attitude as well is brilliant. Mm.
So congrats to Zugtai.
Yep.
Because you're awesome.
Pretty much.
Absolutely. Woo! Additionally, if people haven't noticed in the announcements section, the Mercs are looking for a new quartermaster.
Yes, Abby's step down from that.
Or I was about to say, is Harden retiring? And so the answer then is yes.
Yes, because that's also another department where there is a lot of work.
Yes.
Because we have a lot of
merch. And
the work's
going to just ramp up with how the club expands as well.
Oh, yeah.
So there's probably going to be a team under her and all of that.
Yeah. So if you think that might be your thing.
Shipping and receiving.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, design, manufacture, and shipping is what they have listed. Yep. And you can read more in the announcement section, of course. And if you think that might be your thing, go take a look. However, since this is going to be released around May 2nd, the stipulation on this is, of course, that it says only applications received before May 6th will be considered. So when you're hearing this, you don't have too much time.
Yeah.
Take a look, see if it's right for you, and give it a shot.
Be quick.
And apart from that, the only other thing I can think would be that we should announce the latest Auroramacad order inductees. So for February, the inductee was Drakfjord Verda, John Galarza, down in the Storm Warrior clan in Florida. So congratulations to him. And for March's inductee, it was chosen that Cadenda Rooney, Sal Atanello Jr., he was honored with this induction to the order, and he is in the LA region.
Mandagala clan.
Mandagalar, yes.
Yep.
Glad we have Point here, since he's the
tell us what the names of those things are.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of
I apologize for pronunciation, but that's how it's written.
I can't, I can't pronounce anything.
So congrats to them, and
I just
very well deserved. Very well deserved.
And if anyone wants to check out who else has won in the past,
or submit for someone else to receive the award.
Yep.
Can't
nominate yourself. People that want to submit nominations can do so sending an email to Noval. That is all, of course, accessible on the announcements section as well. Yep. It's the pinned and locked thread titled Order of the Ororamica. It's got all the details there. And, of course, on the homepage, you can navigate to Order of Ororamicad, right on the left-hand side of the yellow links, and you can view all the past recipients, which are being kept up to date. And I will have that updated for February and March once I get the photos back from them. And I think that's all for this month's episode of Kildabi Talk Radio.
I believe so.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you.
We welcome you. You're now in a special club of people who listen to us dither.
Yes, as we ramble aimlessly without purpose.
Without purpose, goal, or reason.
Or meaning. Yes. None.
Hope you guys enjoyed it.
None more reason.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Later, people.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.